Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
Good old Duke, he's killing it.
Yeah. We can give him another run. He can stay.
He can stay. All right, again, like Duke said, you're listening to the Chili Dippers. We are coming from the a caravan park in Torquay, actually. We've just stepped off the 13th Beach Golf Course.
We played it 2 days ago, but we're down here at Torquay.
Yep, so I'm Luke Clark, and I'm here, as always, with David Ralston.
Good morning.
And, like I said, we're just... this is episode 5. Yeah, we're going to discuss a little bit about 13th Beach, which is down in the beautiful Bowen Heads area.
The whole area down here is fantastic, I reckon, but I don't know why God bothered to put a beach down here. This is the coldest place on earth.
Yeah, if Torquay had better weather.
For
a
holiday sunny place, it is for... Look, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to sound... It's a lovely, beautiful place, and Luke's got a great holiday caravan park down here, but God, it's cold.
It is always cold down here. Yeah, so 13th Beach, I've played that a fair few times.
First time around.
Yes, so I've actually, like Rolls just mentioned, I do have a holiday little shack down here that I visit quite frequently. So I get on. It was for a long, long time. It was my favourite course, 13th Beach.
There's been
a few that have surpassed it since, but it was one of the first real nice courses I played.
What's it ranked? What's 13th Beach ranked?
About 6, I think.
So it's a top ten. You had pumped it up to me a fair bit, which is fair enough. But that said, I don't think it was in its best nick today, was it? There was a little bit of work on one of the holes. You said to me, but yeah, don't worry, I absolutely loved it. But I'd question the top 5-6 part of it.
It's ranked eight.
Well, there you go. Very good. But I said, because it was 2 days ago, I'm a little hazy on it. Run us through the first couple of holes and the highlight holes there.
Well, the first couple of holes are actually not too bad. The first one's a fairly basic, straightforward short par 4, which is a nice opening hole.
Oh, yeah, it is a good driving hole. It's fairly wide to drive, yeah. That's a good way to start it up.
Yep. And look, the second's okay. Again, another par 4. Got an interesting tee shot with a bit of a bunker in the middle of the fairway with a large hill that you've sort of got to aim for and try to take on if you get over it. Sort of got a nice, easy approach for your second shot. One thing I do want to mention, the third hole, which is a par 3, it's about 150 metres. I'd played this along a little while ago, and I have to mention this, during a punk club. And... I run a punk club, but we go away on golfing trips, and we played this course, and one of my friends, Ian Popel, which Rolls obviously knows, we played this, and Popes took a couple of shots to get onto the green, and his defence, the pin was in a pretty tough spot. It was on a bit of a hill. I reckon he had about 10 putts and couldn't put it in the hole. I think he ended up just picking the ball up.
Walked away?
Couldn't get it in the hole, just picked the ball up and just walked off the green. So after that, you come to a par 5, which is a really, really long par 5. Depending on how big of a hitter you are, your second or third shots, you can opt to take on the swamp and cut the corner and go after the green. And then you move to the 5th. And my personal opinion is the 13th Beach Golf Course begins at hole 5. While the first 4 holes are pretty good, The 5th is where the course starts. You get right in amongst all the dunes and real beachy sort of look, and you feel like every hole is the only hole on the golf course. It's a beachy. There's actually two courses at 13th Beach. Mm. There's the creek and the beach.
What did we play?
We played the beach.
Is that the better one?
Yeah, it is the better one.
All right, yep.
Out of the two, I reckon I've been to the establishment maybe nearly over 10 times. I reckon I've played the creek twice and beach rest. So they alternate. It's actually a pretty good setup. On weekends, Saturday and Sunday, they shut one of the courses down for members only, open the other one to the public. So depending on what day you want to play, you can't choose which course.
What did we pay there? They didn't miss us, I don't think, at the...
what did we pay?
Yeah.
It was $90.
Yeah, look, I'm as tight as buggery. I thought that was a tad much. It was, again, I don't want to... It was good, but yeah. Maybe I'm skewed. It got there was some sort of behaviour that I may mention a bit later that I didn't fully agree with around the back. But
one of the first things you notice with which I just can't get used to with 13th Beach, when you walk from the car park to the, which has got a really nice club rooms and the building's really nice, you walk through, there's a glass door, that sliding door that opens, and you've got your pool cart, and you're walking through, and you've got to walk through the actual reception area, which is carpeted.
Yeah, it so is. It's
just
is
a weird,
weird
feeling walking weird. Through like an actual building that's carpeted with a reception desk and all that, with your pool cart to walk out.
I like
out
the pictures
to the
along the wall, though, and all that. Yeah, it's
absolutely fantastic.
The pictures, all that. Yeah, beautiful clubhouse. And I assume they've got to pay for that to some degree. That's why the outrageous charge of $90 to play golf for them. So how'd we go after the first couple? You started a bit scratchy. I was hitting it all right.
Yeah, I started a little bit scratchy. We started pretty early in the day. Not normally my sort of.
Yes, we did. Yes, no, I had. Yes, I know. I'm just remembering. I had sore ribs. I had a very shortened swing and all that, which actually can be good
probably
for
helped.
Me sometimes. Yes, yep. Yes. So I was in a little bit of discomfort early before the drugs had kicked in. Yeah, so I started to warm up to the course a bit after the first couple. We got to the seventh. Tell us about that. I thought that was a pretty good hole.
I think seventh is the actual signature hole of this course. It's a medium sort of par three, elevated tee box.
Which is always good, isn't it? Elevated tee box. Got to be more of it.
Yeah.
It's great.
And it's got like sort of a downhill, and there's all just shrub rubbish in between, and then green, and you can see back sort of over the course. It's one of the few parts of the course we actually see
it
down
is,
the back
yes,
of the holes. And I reckon it's a really, really nice hole. Look, I've looked up on the website, Sydney, earlier on, and it actually lists the 16th, which is another really short par three, which you probably remember. It's only 104 metres as their signature hole. But I'm not.
None of the seventh over that by miles.
Yeah, seventh is a much better hole.
Yeah, I will get the 16th in a bit.
We had more fun on the 16th.
Well, we did. We did. Let me take over here for a minute. I want to just mention the back nine and how we went about that. You probably won't enjoy this, but we got to nine as we always do, and I asked for the score. Now, I'm not overly competitive and don't really care, and I'm used to playing stroke. I just play stroke, count the shot, no handicaps, no Stableford, 2 points on this hole, 1 point on this hole, so on and so on. So I said to Luke at the turn, what's the score? And he said, oh, you're 5 shots up. No worries. And then we played 10, and I had a par on 10, and I think you had a 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone from 5, I've got to be at least 6 or 7 shots up then. All of a sudden, I thought, well, this is as good as over. I don't have to worry about it too much. We'll just go around. And we go around the back, and it's all well and good, and the course is great, and we're all playing pretty normal. Luke started to play a bit better, and I was probably a bit worse. But we get to 16, and I said to Luke, what's the score there? And he said, I was one up. And I'm thinking, how the hell has that happened? That one up on, and again, it's on his phone, and all of a sudden he can't find it when I need to look at it and all that sort of stuff. But we're one up. And I said, well, all right, we're one up. We've got 16, 17 to play. I'll still be right here. So I hit mine into the middle of the green. Oh, well, we have to sit down and wait. There's some.
You were laying down with Rolls.
I was laying
down. Yeah, Rolls back had gone on.
One of the few times we had to walk a course again, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Had to walk this course. And Rolls was laying down like a big sook because he was in too much pain. And there was four older ladies on the green that we were just sitting there, and I was having a few
elevated
practice
green with some sleep. Steep slopes.
Really, really, really steep slopes, and about three bunkers around, greenside bunkers. And we're sitting there just waiting for these ladies to putt out. And one of the ladies was had her putt lined up, and she was kneeling down looking over her putt. She took a few steps backwards and fell and slipped into the bunker and fell backwards and slipped all the way down the bunker.
Nearly sort of tumble rolled like an old fashioned movie.
And we lost it.
I couldn't get up.
We absolutely lost. I was laying next to her.
Let's say she was okay. Fine. She was okay.
It was a soft bunker. It was nice. It was a nice paddle.
It was funny. But having said that, it made my shot very difficult. And I was really happy with my concentration to get it on the green.
Yep.
Where you didn't recover so well.
Nah.
So you've hit yours over the back and
left.
We've called it dead.
Yep.
Hit a provisional.
Yep.
You've hit that out of bounds.
Yep.
Left again. You've hit a third, and we're not really sure we're going to be able to find that.
You know, there's a little bit of shrubs halfway between the tee box. Like I said, it's only 100 metres, but there was all
so
this
little
garden.
So you've
hit
a third, so three
bit.
Off the tee, five off the tee. I'm not sure if you hit another one or not. You may have been 7 or 9 off the tee. So that's okay. We don't even look for your first because it's gone.
Yep. So we finished the hole.
We find your second out of bounds, and I say just play it from there. You skinny that over the far side, chip back to out of bounds and leave it. And we find your third provisional under that tree. You chip out from under the tree, chip onto the green. You're about 13 or 14 by now, and you're two putt for 15. I've had two putts for par. So you've had 15 shots, right? As we're walking to the next tee, all of a sudden he finds his first ball. It's a miracle.
He found his first ball. There it is. That is it.
So out of the kindness of my heart, figuring, geez, he's had 15 or 16 already, I'll let him play his first. Somehow he chips on and makes the putt for 20. And three goes on the card.
You said you can, you said you can play it. So it's right, chipped up, par. Moving on.
So all of a sudden, I'm still one up somehow. Somehow I'm one up. 17, I think we halved. And then, yeah, we get to 18, I'm one up. Which is somehow, how I'm not 7, 8 or 12 up is beyond me. But it was lucky enough, I've gone middle hole par. I parred the last there. And you made five. You missed a putt to halve it, sort of thing. So somehow I won the day by one.
Wow,
but and still never saw a scorecard. These phone scoring, he just never's been able to reproduce them. I don't see what's wrong with a pencil and a piece of paper and stroke where everything's just what it is.
Gotta move with the times. Just so you know, I use an application called Gamebook Golf, which is fantastic, regardless of what Rolls thinks of it. And I think it will nearly take over golf scoring one day. That's how good I think it. And look,
it will once all the old blokes like me have died and they're not playing anymore.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second.
Oh, okay.
That needs to happen. What's sooner that? Or later. Electronic scoring, not on your phone because not everyone's got a smartphone. But it's time that
I tell you. Here's an idea: the carts should have a system like when you go 10-pin bowling.
Absolutely.
10-pin bowling, put your name on. The cart's got a little screen. Bang, bang, bang. It's all up there on the screen to see, not hidden in someone's pocket.
Or even if it's just a portable device that if you're not taking the cart, you're walking.
I never thought of walking. This would be in a cart.
And you and me are playing partners. I put your score down. You put it down. If it's wrong, it beeps straight away. Yep. Lets us know it's wrong. We sort it out on the spot rather than getting back to the clubhouse.
Rather than getting back to the caravan 2 days later and find out what's happened.
Yeah, I just think that's going to happen sooner or later.
Couldn't agree more. You're right.
But you're right. We need the older generation to... That aren't going to want to use electronic devices. Like you, exactly.
Yep, a piece of paper and a pencil will do me. But so that was 13th beach. So as I said, look, I'm probably harsher on it than most. I thought it was I thought it was very good without being magnificent. I think if it's ranked in the top 10, it should be straight out magnificent without any questions.
Yeah,
and I didn't have
Like we said earlier, you copped on a day where there was a lot going on.
There was a few big piles of dirt. But don't get me wrong, I could see why it is and all that. And down in that area, because there's a few down there and it's all good. But as I said, for me, look, if it was ranked 25... I would have thought, fair enough too.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. And look, and I've got a little bit of a soft spot for it because it was from one of the first good courses I've played, and I get down there all the time. And you can always get on and enjoy the round.
Yep. All right, very good. 13th beach.
We're going to move on to one of our earliest segments, which is listeners' questions.
My favourite segment.
Welcome to question time.
All right. These questions come in from an email called B Rabbit. I'm not sure who that is. But anyway, the
thanks for listening, Mr. Rabbit.
B Rabbit. So the question I'm assuming it's a he, person wants to know is, if you had a 20-foot putt, if someone had to make a 20-foot putt to save your life, who would you choose?
Ah, good question. The problem with that would be finding someone who likes you enough to try hard enough to make it.
You don't choose me.
No. Now, with that, there's two Italian lads that I play golf with, Greg Rigoni and Roberto Gino Pinozzo. And both Greg Rigoni's a two handicapper. And he makes a career out of 20-foot putts. We play, if you make a putt outside flag length, you get a dollar. So he will deliberately chip outside flag length to make the 20-footer to win the dollar, and makes them all day. Another one, Rob Pinozzo, who's a real good mate of mine, I play with a lot. You think you've got him all day, and then he just keeps rolling 20-footers in. He just rolls them in for fun. So, yeah, those two, either of those two boys, whichever one felt like they might want me to live, I'd choose them without a problem. What about yourself?
Yeah, look, this answer is going to be a bit of a cop out because I'm actually when we're answering these questions, we said, look, you got to pick someone you know. That was a stipulation. We couldn't just pick Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, you can't pick Adam Scott or whoever.
So, but I am picking a pro here. I'm getting fair nickname. I'm picking the local pro at the Black Bull golf course, James.
Well, that's a different story. You're mates with him, though.
I'm actually known pretty well, and I played at the course here. That once a year they have a tournament called Golden Shot, where you get 9 mulligans for the round. So you play there and you get 9.
Good tournament.
And I've played this a couple of times with James as a playing partner, and he only ever uses his golden shots on the green. And he could be 30 feet out. If he puts it and misses, if he's allowed to drop the ball straight back on that spot, once he's seen the line and
he
just made every single one of them. Yeah. It was a real treat to watch. It was actually really, really good. So that's a cop-out choosing a pro. But I'm sticking within the rules.
I can cop that. Now, when you're mates with him, it's not as if he's a stranger. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, so with that then, what about the other way?
Ooh.
What if? Who would you choose that's going to miss a 2 or 3 footer? No, like to save your life, they were going to be trying, but they'd miss a 3 footer. Who'd you go with?
Look, I was going to.
Don't, if you pick me, don't you?
No.
Okay, good go.
No. I'm going to go with old Mike that we play with in the coast.
Yeah.
One of the weirdest putting styles I've seen.
I didn't think of Mike.
Yeah,
he jabbed at it like it was a little a live insect.
Yeah, we spoke about it on one of the other pods that he could actually he's actually a pretty good golfer, but his putting stroke was a bit off.
There was something wrong there.
Honorable mention to Eon Scott, just quietly.
Was Eon Scott? Gee, he's a single figure man too. Eon,
he
tee to green, he struggles for what to get on.
Best bloke in the world. I love the dude with all, but he went for, he had the broomstick putter for a while. And he's gone.
Did he?
He's trying to find his way, but nay.
All right. I used to play golf with a bloke called Nathan Cavalier. Again, ripping bloke.
Yep.
Genuine good footballer, cricketer, golfer. And he was never in love with the game of golf, but he played it. And again, he was around the 9, 10, 11 mark. Beautiful tee to green, beautiful setup. You'd get on the green, and you know how you take the flag out and you just drop it out of the way?
Yeah.
Like you see where
it's out of play.
Yep, yeah. He would regularly hit it. You would think the flag would. You'd put it behind. You'd put it to the side behind. He would just hit the flag when it was out of place, and he would miss 3 footers by 6 foot. He just gave the game up. He just couldn't live with it. Nathan Cavalier. I hope you're listening, and you're a superstar. But all day, mate, you just could not make a 3 footer to save yourself. Sorry, mate.
Well, we've probably got 2 less listeners.
Any more questions there?
Yes, there's one more question. Same person. Now this could get interesting. The question is, who is better out of a bunker between you and I?
Between you and me?
Yeah. Now don't get too quick to answer this.
No. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll give you fairway bunker. Long bunker shots I'm no good at. Can't remember if you're any good either, but I know I'm no good at them.
I'm not. Scratch fairway bunkers.
Around the green, I'm happy to back myself if I've been playing the course and know the sand. I am no good if the thick, dense sand one course, light, fluffy sand the next. Only an inch of sand, and then I hate it when your club bounces, when it's only a thin bit of sand and then clay underneath. So I want thick, soft, fluffy sand so I can have a full swing at it and get it out. So I'm happy enough to back myself in a golf contest against you, but for the best out of a bunker, there would have to be regulations put on it for me to think I was any good at it.
Yeah, so look, I'm a little bit different there. I'll actually still back myself.
Of course you will.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I've been known to be called the Sandman from time to time on a golf course.
That's because of that van you had in university. okay, you say whatever you like. Go on.
I've probably had a little bit more practice out of bunkers than you do. I'm probably in them more. But
yeah, I suppose because the bunkers that are reachable off the tee I can't reach. That's why you get in. Yeah.
The difference is I actually prefer the little bit less sand because I know this is not the way to do it, but I actually play my bunker shots a little bit different. I like to open my lob wedge right up and just nip them
out.
Nipper. Yeah, I nip them out. So I don't really want a heap of sand because if I take a heap of sand, they're coming back to where it started. You know what? I reckon we'll do this then.
We've got a course in our backyard.
Yeah, we've got a course in our backyard. We'll go out and we'll put, 3, 4, 5 balls in a bunker and you can test the sand so you know what sand you're in.
Yeah, right.
No,
yep, yep.
And we'll have bunker wars.
All right.
And so we'll come back on our next pod whenever we do one, and we'll report back who actually will work out some sort of game. We'll explain the rules,
and then it will be recorded. So bad memories down the line can't change stories around. No, right? Yeah, that's good.
It's on Long Donkey
Kong. Good question. Thanks for that. Please send in any other golf challenges you want to send to us. That'll be great.
13th Beach Podcast. Have you got any final words to say before we...
I have. I've just got an idea for a quick little segment we've got to start running. You today reminded me. Ooh. Now, what did you lose today? Six or seven balls?
Yeah.
But how many did you find?
Oh, good question.
I reckon we start running a plus minus because you're losing balls, you're also in the position to find balls. So you might lose six but find eight. You'd be two up for
plus
the day.
Two.
If I just don't lose any, I'm on zero. Yeah, if I lose
I'm
one,
winning.
So you're winning. So I reckon we start keeping count there and run a plus minus on lost found balls. How's that sound?
Yeah, all right, we can do that. Yeah, sounds good.
Because what do you use the $7 or $8 balls, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I use the 50 centers. but we'll still be interested to see how much money you're spending on golf balls.
Oh, no, I don't want to know.
Yeah, no, we'll do this. We'll run a little plus minus. I reckon that's a good idea. And we'll keep a tally and see how we end up at the end of the year. Because that would be, I reckon that'll be fantastic. Like at the end of the year, if you're 50 balls up or down, or if I'm three, I reckon that'll be great.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. Like
right,
it.
Cool.
Yep, we'll
but
do
now
that for
all I've got. So, 13th beach, done, dusted, all good.
All right. Now, so that's the end of the pod. So just remember again, we're on Instagram at the Chili Dippers. Feel free to jump on there and follow us.
That's the Chili Dippers, not the Chili Peppers.
Which we only just realized brought to our attention that Rolls might have called us in the very first podcast. Just incidentally, Chili has got two L's. We run with the two L's, not the one L. So that's Instagram. Email is thechilidippers@gmail.com. If you want to send in any questions or any segments or any ideas you got for us, we're happy to discuss it. But other than that, I think that will do for this podcast.
I'm all good. Let's go get some pizza.
All right, let's do it. We out.
Stop. Couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash.